John D. Rockefeller started the Standard Oil Company. And at one point, the Standard Oil Company controlled 90% of the oil in the United States. He is, to this day, still considered the wealthiest American in history. And there are a couple of ways to calculate that, but regardless, one thing is to be sure, is that Rockefeller had more money than all of us combined. All of the people at home, all of us here, well, unless Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett are watching at home, I don't know. But basically, he had more money than we could ever dream what to do with. And when he died, when Rockefeller died in 1937, one of his accountants was asked, well, how much did Rockefeller leave behind? And the accountant's answer, all of it. Rockefeller, Bezos, Buffett, the Lotto Max winner from the other night, you and me, we all have that in common. When we die, we will leave whatever possessions we have behind. Any home, any possessions, any savings, all our clothing, none of it is coming with us. Ultimately, we are not owners of any of the money or possessions that pass through our hands. We are stewards of it. And that's not nothing. Being a steward is a position of real responsibility. In a household, the steward had enormous responsibility. They controlled the purse, so to speak. Therefore, his or her decisions mattered. They impacted the whole household and how it ran and how it grew and in influence and in impact. And the parable that Jesus is telling today is about a master appointing stewards to watch over things while he's away and to whom he gives money. Now, at that time, a talent was simply a unit of weight. It did not refer to skills and abilities like the way we use the word today. Now, that said, it certainly isn't wrong to also think of our skills and abilities when we consider all that has been entrusted to us, when we consider, you know, the goods that we are meant to steward. But in Jesus' time, talent didn't have two meanings. It simply referred to the largest unit of money the Jewish people had. It was a lot of money. And in the parable, the master gives each of these stewards this large sum of money, and then he goes away. And he goes away for a long time. So long that they begin to wonder, is he ever coming back? They start to think, you know, maybe it doesn't really matter how I use this money. In fact, they probably start to think of it as their own money rather than the money that has been entrusted to them to help grow the master's household. And I think that a great deal of those attitudes and ideas are actually how we approach money. It's mine. It doesn't matter how I use it, or it shouldn't matter to anybody else how I use it. And no one can tell me how best to make it, how best to spend it, how best to save it, how best to give it away. Nobody can tell me how to help it grow in impact and influence. And so let's address these issues. Because during this pandemic, when everything is VUCA, as I mentioned last week, we're having to reevaluate all our priorities and attitudes. And our attitude to money is no different. The first and most fundamental attitudinal shift that we ought to move away from is that my money is my money. I earned it. When I was a kid, my parents, you know, they gave me an allowance. And every week I had to give part of that allowance to charity. Specifically, my parents maybe put part of it in the collection basket at church. But when I was 9 going on 10, I got a paper route and I started to make my own money. My own money. Or so I thought. Yeah, I could spend that money generally how I wanted, but I still had to give some to charity. I still had to save some, and I there were some things that were out of bounds, things that my parents would not let me blow my money on. For instance, you know, I really wanted to buy a lot of fireworks and firecrackers. I really liked seeing things blow up. My parents wouldn't let me spend it all on that. I think they were crazy, but they didn't let me spend it on that. They didn't let me blow it all at the arcade playing Miss Pac-Man either. Just because I had the money, just because I could afford it, didn't mean that I should spend it on things that either weren't good for me or spend too much of it on frivolous things. My parents weren't against me having fun. You know, they didn't forbid me from ever going to an arcade and playing Miss Pac-Man, but they also wanted me to learn that in all things, moderation. Now, when I'm 10, 11 years old, that doesn't seem fair in the slightest. When I was 10 or 11 years old, I'm thinking, hey, I worked for it. I got up early and I went out in the rain and the snow to deliver those papers. I earned that money. But when I look back, you know, when I started out, my dad would help me deliver those papers a lot, especially on Saturday when it was really heavy. And as a teenager who wanted to sleep in all the time, my parents had to wake me up a lot. And my dad would have to remind me to go out and collect the money from the customers. And they would have to drive me to school on those days when I got back late from delivering because, you know, the weather had slowed me down. Yes, I did a lot of the work, but my parents helped me an awful lot. Aside from the fact that they provided for all my basic necessities, for my food, my shelter, my schooling, clothing. And if you want to get to the even bigger picture, it was their taxes that paid in part for the roads and the sidewalks I used, for the snow removal I relied on, for the lights, the street lights that I wanted, all the other utilities and elements that we never think of unless they actually don't work. What I'm saying is this. As a kid, yeah, I worked for that money, but it doesn't really mean that I got to control every aspect of it, that I owned it, or that I should have total say in how I used it. And as an adult, the principle is not really any different. The God-given skills and talents that we use to earn our living are just that, God-given. Hopefully we've developed them, we've grown them to our full potential, but they remain God-given. And we've almost certainly needed other people to help develop and hone our skills. Teachers and professors and coaches and textbook authors. You know, we've used schools and universities that are at least partially publicly funded. And we've used infrastructure that we didn't build. We used natural resources that we didn't create. If you're a business owner, you use the gifts and skills of your employees to help grow your business. If you work for those businesses, you've relied on others for training and to work together. You've relied on owners to be responsible in paying wages and providing the tools and equipment you need. We all, in some way, shape, or form, depend on others for the money and the things that we have. We depend on customers and employers and employees. We depend on the government and natural resources. And in my case, I depend on donors. And ultimately, we are all dependent on God, the creator of all the resources we use, the creator of you and the creator of me with all our skills and abilities. And we are stewards. Stewards of our skills, stewards of our resources that we use and far too often abuse, including the incredibly precious resources that our planet provides. And we are stewards of the money and possessions you and I happen to have. The parable today tells us that God wants each of us to be good stewards of all that has been entrusted to us. He wants you to use what has been given to you to help grow his household, to grow the impact and influence that his household has. He wants you to use what he has happily given to you to make the world a better place, to build up his people and his kingdom. If you gave your child a gift, and when they looked at it, instead of gratitude and joy, they tossed it in a closet full of other gifts without even opening it, how keen are you to give that child another gift? That's essentially the parable today. That's what it boils down to. Do we recognize, are we grateful for the gifts, the money, all the possessions that we have? Do we waste those things? Do we take them for granted? Do we use them selfishly or completely frivolously and never help others or allow it to grow God's impact in the world? I gotta say, what's the point of using it frivolously and wasting it and frittering it away? Because just like Rockefeller, we aren't taking it with us. So here's what it comes down to. It is God's money. All of it is his. And we are stewarding it for him. Will we let him influence how we make use of it? Will we let God into the decisions making that we use around what we spend our money on, what we save for, what we give to? Letting God in doesn't mean that God wants you to forget about taking care of your family or to forego a family vacation, or he doesn't want you saving for your future. Our world tells us to spend first, to save second, and to give from whatever we might have left over. God wants you to think about giving first, saving second, and spending third. And he wants you to think about how you give. He wants you to think about what you're saving for. And he wants you to think about what you spend your money on. Is it being a good steward? Are you making sure not to destroy the environment and the resources in what you buy? Are you cheating or, well, let's say, fudging on your taxes? What charities do you give to? And is it out of guilt or out of gratitude? And is it for impact? Let's face it, your spending has shifted this year. It is still shifting in the midst of this pandemic. Are you really thinking about how it's changed? Are you thinking about the ways that your spending has changed? Are you thinking about, is it making my family truly happy, or is it just providing some immediate pleasure? You know, in the past, your family vacations, did they usually put you further into debt? Were they all put on your credit card or credit cards? This year, you probably had to get creative with a family vacation. What did you learn from that? Are you saving for retirement? Have you had to dip into those savings lately? Is your retirement plan winning the Lotto Max? I can't tell you how to spend your money. I can't tell you what to give to charity or to the church, or what to save for and what clothes or car or coffee you buy. In fact, mostly I don't care about the minutiae of your daily spending habits. I do care about the effect it has on you, on your family, on your relationship with the Lord. I do care how happy you are. and using your money and your talents, using them well, using them with God involved in that process, with God giving you a purpose, will make you happier and more satisfied with life, regardless of how much money you actually have. This pandemic has shifted how we work, how we go to school, how we shop, how we learn, how we entertain ourselves, how we connect with others. Use this time to become more intentional and deliberate in what you give to, what you save for, and what you spend your money on. It matters to God. It should matter to you. Now is the time to rethink everything, to rethink your budget. Start a budget. Rich or poor, God has entrusted you with so much. Please let him into your decision-making about what you give to, what you save for, what you spend on. Use your money in a way that helps grow God's impact and influence in the world. Grow a more loving, kinder, gentler world. Use your talents in the same way. Let God into that process, into that decision-making today. The parable today tells us that it matters to God. I hope and pray that it matters to you.